2. Summit House Lodge, Province of Glacierheart, Republic of Sidarmark.
Your Eminence, how long have I been your valet?
Jason Kinnear turned to look at Freedman Thomas speculatively. He knew that long-suffering tone entirely too well.
For quite some time, he said mildly, at which Thomas folded his arms and gave him a very stern look indeed.
At the moment, the Archbishop of Glacierheart sat in front of a fire barely short of roaring. Summit House Lodge, the name some long-ago archbishop had bestowed upon his summer retreat, lay considerably higher up the mountain behind the city of Terrace than the city itself. The relatively modest lodge was also, despite the steep-pitched, snow-shedding roof all buildings required in these mountains, intended as a summer residence, a place for the archbishop and his favored guests to withdraw into rustic seclusion and relax. Kinnear suspected that at least one of his predecessors had also seen Summit House as a secluded venue for drunken parties and the occasional orgy, far enough away from his parishioners' disapproving eyes to avoid any official scandal. The fact that it had been viewed primarily as a summer residence, however, also meant that even though it was weathertight, it hadn't really been designed for occupancy in the coldest month of an East Haven winter. Despite the high-piled coal fire on the drawing room's hearth, the air temperature left much to be desired, which was why Kinnear wore a thick sweater over his heavy woolen winter-weight cassock. Despite which, he felt a certain sympathy for a ham hung up in an ice house.
For 43 years, Your Eminence, Thomas told him now. That's how long I've been your valet.
Really?
Kinnear canted his head to the side.
I do believe you're right. Odd. I thought it had been longer than that somehow.
Something glinted in Thomas's eyes, and his sternly set lips might have twitched ever so slightly. It was possible, at any rate.
Well, Your Eminence, saying your pardon and all, I hope you'll not take it the wrong way if I tell you that of all the addle-brained flights you've gotten up to, and yes, I do remember that party of yours when you near as nothing got tossed out of seminary, this one is the worst.
It's not as if I really have much choice at this point, Freedman,
Kinnear replied in a much more sober tone.
And I deeply regret having gotten you involved in all of this. But,
he shrugged, and Thomas snorted.
The way I recall it, Your Eminence, I was as enthusiastic about it as ever you were. I'd not go taking all the credit were I you.
No, that's fair enough, I suppose. But I'm the Archbishop around here. It's not right that you should suffer for my actions, or that you should be stuck up here with me, hoping whoever wrote that letter meant what he said.
And where else should I be? Thomas demanded. I've no more chick nor child than you do, Your Eminence, and you need someone to look after you. I've gotten into the habit of doing that.
He shrugged.
Look at it how you will. There's little point in regretting, and even less in trying to change what's done.
Well,
Kinnear smiled, feeling his eyes burn slightly.
If that's the way you feel, then why this sudden criticism of my plans?
Why, as to that, if it were to happen you had any plans to speak of, then I'd not have opened my mouth.
Somehow, Kinnear found that a bit difficult to believe.
As it happens, howsomsoever, as near as I can see, your plans consist of turning up in the middle of the night, in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the winter, in naught but the clothes on your back, and hoping someone as you've never met and don't even know the name of will be waiting there for you. Would it be I've got that more or less straight, Your Eminence?
Actually, I think that's a fairly masterly summation,
the Archbishop conceded.
And you think all of that's a good idea, do you?
Thomas demanded.
No, I simply think it's the best idea available to us, Kinnear replied. Why, have you thought of a better one? No, and it's not my business to be thinking of better ones either.
If Thomas had been fazed by Kinnear's challenge, he gave no sign of it. Besides, as both of them understood perfectly well, his was the duty to sound the voice of gloom and doom, not to suggest how his dismal prophecies might be evaded.
It's just that I was wishful of being certain I had all that straight in my head.
I'd say you do, Kinnear said judiciously.
Well, in that case, and seeing as how your mind's made up, I'd best see about finishing packing, hadn't I?